Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 18, Perfection of Renunciation, text 64. Sarvam guhyatamam bhuya. Srinume paramam vachaha. Ishtosti mezridam iti. Tato vakshami tehitam. Sarva Guya Tamam, the most confidential of all. Bhuya, again. Srinu, just here. Me, from me. Paramam, the supreme. Vacha, instruction. Istak Asi, you are dear, may, to me, dridam, very, iti, thus, tata, therefore, vakshami, I am speaking, te, for your, hitam, benefit. Translation of Prabhupada by Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because you are dear to Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the most important instruction in all Vedic literature. What Krishna is saying in this connection is the most essential part of knowledge and should be carried out not only by Arjuna, but by all living entities. So the verse again, Saro guyatamam bhuya shunu me paramam vachaha ishtosti medridam iti tito vakshami tehitam. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you from my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is your benefit. Here Krishna is asking, well, he's going to tell Arjuna to think of him. So Krishna is very humble. He's a little hesitant, just like if you ask someone, think of me, it may seem a little presumptuous. But Krishna knows, since he's made out of pure pleasure, therefore, without the soul thinking about Krishna, the soul can't actually be happy. So Krishna doesn't necessarily want the soul to think about him so that Krishna can be happy. Krishna's idea is that the soul can't be happy without thinking about him. Now, of course, when this conditioned soul hears this, he becomes alarmed, thinking that Krishna is very proud and puffed up, and wants everyone to think about him. As it says in the Nectar of Instruction, Sat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapta Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasana Rochi Kanu Kinva Dharada Nudinam Saiva Kala Jushta Sodikala Bhavati Tadkala Mulahantri. That the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful just by simply chanting these sweet names every day. A natural relish awakens within one's tongue, and his disease of ignorance is destroyed at its root. In other words, the name of Krishna is actually transcendentally sweet, but because we're covered, therefore it seems like an ordinary sound, because it couldn't be an ordinary sound. As Prabhupada used to sometimes point out, we couldn't chant repeatedly an ordinary sound. It's just not possible. You can make the experiment, take a japa beads, and chant water, 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 water. And see how long you can chant water, 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 water. How many water rounds you can do. But if we chant Hare Krishna, somehow or another we can make it through. Even though we may not have an overwhelming taste for chanting, still, there's no other sound vibration except for the Hare Krishna mantra and things related to Krishna. can we actually do repeatedly? Just like we're reading the Bhagavad Gita. Most of us have read it more than one time. And it's not exactly a storybook. It's quite a heavy philosophy book. How many philosophy books in your life have you read repeatedly? Of course, by the mercy of Maya, we forget. And even aspiring devotees, they sometimes think this, we're just doing something ordinary. But actually, it's transcendental. So, Krishna wants us to think about him. And he says if we don't do it, then the alternative is we're in Maya. So what's the problem with Maya? Is that in Maya we're all crazy, completely insane. The only difference is between the people who are declared insane and the people out who are not declared insane is that one are in the insane asylum and the other are in the bigger insane asylum called the material world. In any case, Krishna says, asatyam apratishtam te jagaro haranishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kemaya kamahai tukam. They say, those are the demons, by the way, that Krishna has described, pritim chan, vritim cha, jana navido asura, nesatyam, nesocham napi chapachara, nesatyam teshu vidyate. That those who are demons, he describes them, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. So we analyze those who are not chanting Hare Krishna, have nothing to do with Krishna. They don't really know what's to be done because they don't know what's going to actually give them happiness. They're experimenting in so many different ways for happiness. Now if they actually knew that what was happening, what would cause them, give them happiness, then we'd have a pretty simple society. Because everyone would just, it would just be a stable society, because everyone would just be doing what would be giving them happiness. But society is a wreck, it's a mess, because people are changing everything. Every day is something new. New war, new invention, new iPhone, new computer, new book. Everything is always different, because they have no idea. If you go downtown every year, like this will be Christmas, there'll be a completely different, everything will be different in the store. And everything in the store is arranged in such a way as to promise you happiness. So people don't know what to buy. They'll try out this, they'll try that. And next year, they won't buy anything that they bought last year because it didn't give them any happiness. So this year is going to give them happiness. Luckily, by the mercy of Maya, people's intelligence and memory are taken away because they're an illusion. Therefore, they forget that last year we spent all our money buying these presents to make people happy, and at Christmas they were just as miserable as they were the year before, if not more miserable. For entertainment, they turn on the television to find out what the latest war is and how many people died from the pandemic. That's their entertainment. Or they turn on a movie about how we've all become machines or something, just to make you feel happy. So they don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness. The whole atmosphere is polluted. The air is polluted. The water is polluted. The food is polluted. People's minds are polluted. There's no cleanliness. If they want to clean their hands, they wash it with alcohol, the most contaminating thing on the planet. They wash it with alcohol. And they've done studies in England, for instance. They've taken samples all over England, in London and outside, and they found it's all contaminated by stool because people don't wash their hands after they pass stool, and therefore everything they touch becomes covered with stool. So that's modern society. And truthfulness. If you ask anyone on the street a question, the first thing that comes out of their life, their mouth spontaneously is a lie. People don't know how to tell the truth. It's embarrassing for them to tell the truth. If you ask them for a donation for a book, the first thing they tell you is they have no money. They're walking around with all these shopping bags. I guess everyone went to the store and it was all donated to them. They had no money. And finally, if you convince them, just give anything. They open their wallet and all you can find is, you know, 100 euro notes and 20 euro notes and 50 euro notes. You say, well, I can give you change. No, no, it's not my money. It's my grandmother's money. So people don't know what the truth is, what to speak of telling the truth. And cleanliness, nor proper behavior. They're mean, belligerent, not only with strangers, with people in the other countries, because we've been taught how to hate everyone except for people who live on your block. And even people who live in your block, you hate them too. You don't have to be taught, it's just normal. And even the own family, people can't even stay together anymore. After trying to exploit each other for a few months or years, then they want to get rid of each other. And they want to get rid of the kids too. They want to get rid of, the only thing that they want to stay with is their dog, as long as it licks their face. And they think it's love. At least he loves me every time he licks my face. But in India they found out, in India there are also dogs there. And when you're dead, they lick your face to find out if you're dead. And if they find out you're not dead, then they bite off your nose. They start eating you. So Fifi, who's licking your face, it may not be out of love. Maybe to find out if you're still alive before he eats you. But they have to imagine that someone loves them. Even they have an aquarium with fish in it. They think every time I look into the fish tank, the fish swims over to me because he loves me. So the material world is based on imagination. They're looking for happiness and love and peace and contentment and everything else. And one drop, according to Govinda Das, if they get one drop, they think they're in bliss. So Krishna says, that's because they made Krishna into a cartoon. Little Krishna. That's all they think Krishna exists. Some imaginary cowherd boy who lived in Vrindavan. And he was so uneducated he didn't even wear shoes. All he knew was how to herd cows. And that was it. That was his education. He ran away with other people's wives. He stole things from anyone he could get his hands on, yogurt. The poor coward men and women, all they had was yogurt and milk, and he went every day and stole it from them. Attacked their little kids, created a band of thieves, ravaged Vrindavan, and before he could get caught, he fled into Mathura to do the same thing there. And there's a band of foolish people, they worship him. Check your pockets after you see them. Make sure your wallet's still there. So they think Krishna's unreal. He has no foundation. They think the whole world is unreal. What to speak of Krishna? They think his world is unreal. Has no foundation, no God in control. It produces sex desire and has no other cause than lust. So they think that what's moving the world is lust. And therefore the most lusty people are the most powerful people, the most angry people. And therefore they create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. Because from lust comes greed and comes anger and illusion. So illusion means if I can control you, and the most control I can have over you is your life. If I have the power to take your life away, then that gives me the greatest satisfaction. Therefore, there are so many useless wars. so many, they know, for instance, if they put, I was just watching a video about how they knew if they put lead in gasoline, it made people stupid and killed them. And indeed, since the Roman times, they knew that. The Romans used to put, they used to decorate themselves with lead. And they got lead poisoning, they died. So even then they knew. So everyone knew that lead was poisonous, and yet they, what's that? Lead. Sweden? Svinets. So they put lead in gasoline. Billions of tons of lead. All over the planet. And they found out that every single person on the planet was intoxicated with lead. And even in they kept on doing it, and even in the zoos in America, they found that the animals were dying from lead poisoning. Finally, they took lead out because this catalytic converter they discovered, and therefore it wouldn't work with lead, so they made unleaded gasoline in America. In any case, this went on and still going on in Africa. They still have leaded gasoline in Africa. And it's done, not only it kills the people who are exposed to it, but even the children in the womb, lead passes the placenta and enters into the baby's body. So even in future generations, babies get contaminated with lead. So these are our friends. These are the people who are progressing our society. Captains of industry. The same captains of industry. They were the same people who supplied the good petroleum, the gas, during World War II. They were selling it to Hitler, to the Nazis. They were the ones who gave the Nazis, IBM was the one who gave the Nazis the technology to create the computers by which they could track every single person they sent to the death chambers, keep a record on them. All by the mercy of IBM, and the original computers were used to kill people. And these are the people, for instance, these are the people that we adore as the leaders of society. The ones who are now tracking our every breath, our every email, every communication. Not because they love us, I want to find out how they can send us sweet messages. No, they're tracking it because ultimately they want to get rid of us. Because they're demons and because they're crazy, and the mode of ignorance makes anyone in the mode of ignorance, it makes them to one degree or another crazy, and the more that you work in the mode of ignorance, the more crazy you become. The more you become separated from Krishna, who is the source of happiness and pleasure, and therefore all these crazy ideas that they'll become happier by becoming even more in the mode of ignorance. Although they become more and more depressed and bewildered and distressed, but they think this will make them happy. But they just become stark, raving mad, that's all. And the other people who are also crazy, they think these are their leaders. Because that's how the material nature works. If you do bad things, then Krishna gives you bad leaders. And instead of leading you to a good place, they lead you to the darkest place because that's where they're going and they want everyone to join. So the point is that Krishna is actually our friend. His instructions are meant so that we can become conscious of him and we can actually revive our original loving propensity because that's what makes us happy, is we actually love. But we can only consistently, constantly, and increasingly love if we love things in relationship to Krishna. Because Krishna is ultimately the supreme lovable, and everyone and everything is lovable because it's not different from Krishna. not as lovable of as Krishna, but almost as lovable as Krishna, especially when the living entity is thinking about Krishna, then Krishna is also there, along with the living entity. And therefore, the living entity is lovable, and Krishna is lovable. And therefore, Krishna's devotees, in one sense, are even more lovable than Krishna, because Krishna plus his devotees. So, that's the only way we can become happy, and when they try to take Krishna out of everything, then we can see. I mean, I guess we're fortunate enough to have a little intelligence. We can actually see what's going on. Most people, they think there are just bad people in the world and they're good. They're like mean people who are controlling the world, and the people who know that there are mean people controlling the world, they're good people, but they're all bad. All these so-called people who are good people, one way or another, they think they're good. They're also usually meat eaters. They're not meat eaters. They're breaking other principles. And none of them acknowledge that there's a Supreme and that we should follow his instructions. They don't want to keep, some people don't want to, these wars, they don't like it. We don't like the wars either, unnecessary wars. But they don't mind killing animals. They deplore the killing people, but they don't mind if you're killing, you know, animals, millions and billions of animals. Or insects, or birds, whatever they're killing, their children. Even the vegans who say, well, we're violently, they don't want to eat, they don't have anything to do with killing with drinking milk because it has something to do with animal slaughter. But when it comes to contraceptives, they have no problem. Or abortions, they have no problem killing their own children. They want to protect the poor cow, but they won't protect even their own poor children. And they think they're superior. But actually, they're even worse. So the point is, without Krishna consciousness, without thinking about Krishna, there is no Krishna consciousness. Krishna is not some theory that we talk about. We actually have to think about him. That he has a form. Just like if I said, I'm in love with a woman, and they ask, what does she look like? I have no idea. Do you ever think about it? Of course not. I don't know what she looks like. Where does she live? I have no idea. What's her number? I don't know. I don't know, even know if she has a phone. What's her name? I've been trying to figure that out, but I can't remember. Anyhow, all I can tell you is I'm madly in love with her. What's your relation with her? I don't really know, but anyhow, we'll figure it out later. So who will believe you? Who believes such a story? You don't know what the person's name is. You don't know where they live. They don't know, you don't know what they do. You don't know what they look like. They don't even know who they associate with. And still you're claiming you love them. And somehow or another you have a book that tells you what they told you to do, but you don't believe in them, so you don't do it. You do exactly the opposite. And still you claim you're in love with them. It's like a man has a wife, and the wife says to the man, take out the garbage. And the man says, I can't do it, because I'm too much in love with you. I can't move. Well, can you wash the dishes? Sorry. I'm too much in love with you. I can't do anything for you. Can you at least pay the bills? Sorry, you have to pay them. Out of my love for you, I just sit here. Do nothing for you. Because I'm too much in love with you. So we have to know who Krishna is. We have to know what he looks like. We have to know what he does. And we have to think of him. And if we do that, if we do it and we serve him, then the result is that Krishna will actually reveal himself to us and we'll become overwhelmed with spiritual transcendental love and pleasure. And then we'll understand what we're doing, what we're supposed to be doing here. Well, the gift we have to offer to others is obviously we don't have the best building in town. We may have the best food, but not everyone will like our food necessarily. We don't have the best singers necessarily. We don't have the greatest painters, whatever. But what we do have is an opportunity to love Krishna. And Krishna is the most valuable thing that exists. Krishna and his associates, because they're purely pleasurable. And that's all people are looking for. They're just looking for happiness. And we have the clue to happiness. The only thing is that we have to take it ourselves. We have to become Krishna conscious. And then we won't have to preach so much. We have to make, because people will naturally, they'll want to associate with us because we'll be emanating happiness. You can see when Prabhupada was preaching, sometimes we watch these movies here, Prabhupada giving a class like in Los Angeles, and we find all the devotees are just lining up in the back there, back of his Vyasa-san. Why? Because these are the devotees who were falling asleep during the class. So if you fell asleep during the class, you had to stand up and stand in back of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa-san so he didn't see you falling asleep. It's not exactly encouraging. You're enthusiastically preaching and the audience is going, pure nectar, and you go, still, why do these devotees, you see all these devotees are there, do you think they join because of the philosophy? They couldn't hear the philosophy for more than 5 minutes without falling asleep. They joined because Prabhupada was blissful. That's why they joined. That's the only reason why they joined. Or they heard, you know, by associating with Prabhupada, or they heard from others who, when they described how blissful Prabhupada were, they were also blissful. So they had some, Prabhupada was emanating not only bliss, but faith also. And got people doing, and when people went out and distributed books, enthusiastically with faith in Prabhupada, faith in our, you know, then they also be, you know, they experience transcendental bliss because Krishna is pleased with them for their service to the mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased with them. So the conclusion is we have to become Krishna conscious somehow or another. If there's no object of complete faith, we have to at least study Prabhupada's books, study this philosophy, and then put it into practice, and then Krishna will be pleased with us. And then we'll become aware of Krishna. Krishna will make himself aware. He'll make himself aware of everything, how it's related to him. And everywhere we'll look, we'll be blissful. We'll be in love with everyone and everything, and there won't be any more problems, at least for ourselves. If you're in love with everything and everyone, how can you have any problems? If everything reminds you of Krishna, even the difficulties you're put into, if they remind you of Krishna, what can be the difficulty? And if everything doesn't, if everything helps us forget Krishna, everything we're doing, how can you have any happiness? Krishna is actually the reservoir of happiness. How can you be warm if the more you go away from the fire? It's not possible. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? In Pune in India, they have the GBC meetings. And the first thing, was I there for the first thing? Anyhow, I attended someone online. And Veer Krishna Maharaj's birthday was today, his appearance day. Yeah, so they had gave him a cake, a Kadasi cake.
Maharaj is there.
What's that?
Pune,
yeah, he made it there. So they have, is it still going on? The, yeah.
I think they finished the last
one. Oh, okay. They have prasadam? Okay, so we'll end here. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.